All right, let's pray, man, and go before the Lord and just thank him this morning, ask him to show us some things maybe, or just remind us some things or encourage us about some things, because, you know, when we open this word and we begin to read this word, you know, it's like God is standing up here and he's taking them seeds and he's just throwing them out, man. I love that picture, especially in Matthew 13, if you've never read it, where the sower went out to sow seeds and he's just throwing them, right? But, you know, only one of those seeds paid off. Mm-hmm. All the rest of them died. Mm-hmm. And what was it, the seed? What seed was it that produced 60, 100 fold? It was the seed that fell on a ground that had been prepared. Mm-hmm. And he's absolutely talking about our hearts there. So, you know, if you're going to come here and you're going to listen to the word, at least prepare your heart to receive it so it can get a, when it lands in that dirt, it can drop down a little bit. Then it can begin to grow. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the opportunity to just be in your house and be with like-minded people, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we've already blessed this time and we've already asked for your favor, Lord, and we've already asked for your spirit to have its way, Lord. And Father, we ask that again.
Yes.
Lord, I just want to remind everybody here, when I come to you, I am looking at you from the picture of Revelation chapter 4. I'm picturing the throne, Lord. I'm picturing the rainbow that is above your throne, Lord. I'm picturing the sardis and the jasper. And Lord, I'm picturing the beauty and the emerald colors around it, Lord. And no, I can't see, Lord. I can see your light. I can see the crystal sea. I know there's a throne there, Lord, from which everything comes. But Lord, I know this, that one day I will see you. And I'll be able to see you face to face. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to just come before your throne. Because that's what your word tells us to do. And come with boldness and come with confidence to find mercy and grace in our time of need. We love you, Lord. We commit this time to you because you truly are worthy and you truly are worthy of all of our honor and our praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Isn't God good?
Yes.
And I love it when things like that stick in my mind from last Wednesday. You know, that the throne that we got the picture of.
Yep.
You know, you guys remember there was two colors that John specifically. Yep. You guys remember what those two colors were? He said sardis and jasper. And you know, we got to looking and you know that ephod that the priests wear.
The beginning and the end.
The first one was sardis. And the last one was jasper. I love it when God shows me things like that. Hi, Al.
Good morning.
You sneaked in during prayer?
Praise the Lord. I did.
The book of beginnings, man. So really, in Genesis here, I just want to remind you this morning, this is really an account of God's creation. Am I right?
Yes.
The account of God's creation.
Ooh.
Let me just reread chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you can truly believe that, then you can believe the rest of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to remind you, too, that we're not going to try to interpret Genesis. The best way to interpret Genesis is to what?
Read it.
Just read it and accept it for what it says and for what it is, man, because that's what it is. Because that's what it is. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. So we've seen the state of the world, state of the earth before God organized it. We already seen that. And what was that? It was without form and void. And the Holy Spirit was over the face of the deep. You guys remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first day of creation, light was created and divided from the darkness. It's kind of odd because the sun, the moon, and the stars were not even created yet.
Nope.
But that shouldn't surprise anybody.
No. Nope.
Because when God makes everything new, and we're with God, you know, in paradise in heaven, what does the Bible say? It says, he will be the light thereof. There will be no need for the sun, moon, or stars there either. So that shouldn't surprise us at all. The second day of creation, God makes that atmospheric division. Amen? Y'all remember that? Kind of like a canopy over the earth? The firmament? Huh?
Like a terrarium.
Like the terrarium. Yes, if you guys remember Doug's, he showed us a great picture of how that terrarium actually grows. And there's no, you know, it's enclosed, encapsulated. But yet it grows. And the third day of creation, that is when the land is divided from the sea, the plants and all types of vegetation were created, if y'all will remember. So remember, the plants and stuff were created what? Full grown. Mm-hmm. But within each one of those plants, what did it have?
Seed.
Seed for what?
Photosynthesis.
Reproduction.
For its own kind. To reproduce after its own kind.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go on to the fourth day of creation. This one, the sun and the moon and the stars. And remember, I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I just want to try to show you some things that will encourage you and some things that will just give you a different perspective of how big your God really is. Amen? All right, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. Isn't that cool?
Isn't that cool?
All right.
I read that this morning, I thought, man, you had it all.
Yeah, it's all figured out.
Like, it's all.
If you guys haven't figured it out yet, everything that God created in the universe, the system, solar system that we live in, works just in such perfection.
Harmony, yeah. Just complete harmony.
In complete harmony. And there's people that actually believe that all that just came about
from nothing.
All right. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so.
Amen.
Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which is
sun.
The lesser light to rule the night, which is
the moon.
Isn't it kind of odd that the moon really doesn't have any light? But it does have light, doesn't it?
Oh yeah,
yes. Yes. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Or the fourth day. I love it where he says, let them be for signs and seasons.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? You know,
mm-hmm. God made astrology the sun and stars.
True, right? Huh? Mm-hmm.
Astrology works too, I guess.
It works, but everything, do you ever notice everything that God created that is good, man is corrupted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. And we're going to look at that too, because not all astrology is good, my brother.
I should have had my tongue further into my cheek.
So God made the sun and the moon and the stars, and these lights in the firmament of the heavens were to be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So since the beginning of time, man has actually used these things, mm-hmm. right, to navigate.
Yeah.
Because you know why they could use them to navigate year after year after year after year after year after year and so on and so on and so on? Because they're so consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They do not change. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing, man. And you know, they use it to navigate, but they use it to mark direction, they use it to mark days, and they use it to mark seasons and years. Man, God did all that. But not only did God do that, he let us know that he did that.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. He let us know he did that. It says God set them in the firmament of the heavens. So God knew exactly how far to set these things that he created. The sun, the moon, and the stars. He knew exactly how far
yep.
to set the sun. Because I just want you to know, a few degrees closer, we would burn up.
Yep.
A few degrees further away,
we
would freeze up. But think about the moon. What is the main purpose of the moon?
Gravity.
It is. The gravitational pull. Because as the earth spins, it pulls out the ocean. And then as the earth continues to spin and it loses the gravitational pull on the ocean, what does it do? It lets the tide
come in.
Back in. I just want you to know, without the moon, our beaches would be unlivable, unwalkable, but when it's all that stuff is pulled out, that's God's way of keeping all that clean. But I want you to know, think about it, because if that moon wasn't exactly where it needed to be, it would pull it out so far,
yep.
and it would be like a rubber band.
Yep.
But it's right in the exact spot to where it moves and it lets it go gradually.
Accidentally.
I mean, everything works like a Rolex, better than a Rolex.
Well, you know, and I think it reminds me, you know, we have to remember there's a purpose for everything. And, you know, God, and in God, there is no chaos. Everything works in harmony.
That's right.
Relationships, that's our work relationships, that's, like, everything has a purpose.
That's right.
And if we just allow ourselves to sit in that sweet spot, right, and do what God has called us to do and be what God has called us to be, right, people get kind of sideways when we talk about marriage and women submitting. And it's all this. There is a plan and there is a purpose. And when you're in it, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah, so when you take all these things into consideration, the intricacy of our solar system and how it operates, man, there is no way that a person who hasn't already made a decision can look at all of this and the way it operates, the days, the years, the months, the seasons, the navigation, the stars, how perfect they are. No way you can stand back and say, that wasn't designed. I mean, it was designed, my friends. It was designed by the designer.
Amen.
You could even just look at one tiny aspect, like maybe just one eye.
Yes.
How can you look at one eye and say it wasn't designed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a hand.
And you know, this is something I learned from Doug, is how much information the eye can process, you know, a million pieces of information per second. Yeah. Think about it. When you walk into a room, looking around right now, how many different, your brain, that supercomputer that God has given us, is processing information at such a speed, amen, you can walk in, you can see every color, you can see the chairs in a row, you can see all that. I mean, it's just amazing that eye can do that. And to think for a moment that came from nothing, dang, I just took a thought captive. Hallelujah. I'm getting better, my friend. All right, he also made the stars, the sun, the moon, the stars. I want to read a couple of verses to you about the stars just because I want to encourage you a little bit to remind you about God and his power and his omnipotence, his omniscience, and his omnipresence. So in Psalms 147:4, he says, he counts the number of the stars and he calls them by name.
Amen.
How many stars are there?
Too many.
Infinite?
We don't know.
We have no idea. They are innumerable for us, but not for him.
Amen.
Amen. Is that what it said?
Yep.
He counts them, and not only counts them,
he names them.
But he has a name for every one of them. Again, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens.
Amen.
Who created all these? He who brings about the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing.
Amen.
You know, when I read that, I thought, you know, when you go outside and you're in a dark area and you look up at the sky as it's starting to get dark, you know, you don't see all the stars at once. You start seeing, and then all of a sudden, you know, the darker it gets, the more stars you see. So when it says here that he calls them all out, calls them forth one by one, I just want you to know that as each one of those stars in the sky become visible,
he called it.
You know what I mean? That's our God right there, man.
Yeah.
Man.
And there's only one earth.
Yes, one earth. That's right. Just one earth. You are correct. I want to read another one to you. This is beautiful from Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. And this tells us that heaven actually has a message for you and me from God.
Amen.
The heavens do. Listen. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voices go out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world.
Amen.
In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is the bridegroom coming out of its chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run its course. What is he talking about there? You ever seen a beautiful sunrise?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about. Listen. It rises to one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other, and nothing is deprived of its warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Anybody know what the earth is, what its axis is set on?
23 degrees.
Why 23? Because that is the only position to where, as it rotates, every part of the earth would get the warmth of the sun. Come on, man.
That's a big God.
That's a big God. Let's talk about astrology. Because astrology, of course, is a satanic corruption of what God has created, you know, in God's original message in the stars. And I think because it is a corruption of something God created, that you and I as Christians, we need to stay away from that.
Amen.
You know, I know Christians who follow their horoscope.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, really?
Horoscope,
yeah.
Is that called divinity?
Huh?
Is that divinity?
That is sorcery.
Sorcery.
Divinity is divine.
Like tarot cards?
Yeah, that's sorcery and wickedness and astrology, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to read something to you in Isaiah. We went through this in chapter 47. And I want to give you the context of it because it's important. And he's talking about the fall of Babylon in the end time. So he is actually talking about a part of Revelation that we're going to get to. All right? And it's just a beautiful. What is Babylon? Babylon is actually the fall of the world system. Babylon represents, in the book of Revelation, and here in the context of Isaiah, the world system. And we know that one day all that will be
one. Wiped out.
Burned up.
Yeah.
Burned up by fire. Am I right?
Yeah.
We know how God is going to make everything new.
Yep.
Because he tells us at the end
burn
of Revelation. How's he going to do it?
Burn it.
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire.
Nuclear.
How hot?
Very.
I want you to remember that when we read this. And you know what I want you to marvel at? That this was 700 years before Jesus even came.
Yep.
All right? Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Jesus even showed up. All right? We'll read verse 12 through 15. Keep on then with your magic spells and with your many sorceries, which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month, and let them save you from what is coming. Coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. This is all they are. That is all they are to you. These you have dealt with and labored since childhood. All of them go on in their air, and there is no one who can save you.
Keep on
in. Yeah, keep on in, baby. Yeah, but you see that God is presenting a choice even in that. And I see the mercy even in that he would write that so long ago and give people an opportunity to see that and maybe not dive into that or fall into that type of stuff. Amen?
What chapter was that?
Isaiah 47. I want to ask you, because what is the stars? What do they represent? They represent planets.
Oh, okay.
All right? They are planets. That's what they are. So with all them other planets, boy, a lot of people think there's people living
there's
on
life.
Huh? What do you think, man?
No way. God is not too serious.
Well, I mean, and it's kind of interesting that every single time they find a new planet, they try. They can't find it. Like, it's fascinating to me. It's unsustainable. Every single one.
Look, the Bible does not speak of extraterrestrial at all.
Mm-mm.
And nobody sitting in here this morning can tell me that they have actually laid their hands on, touched, or seen, without a doubt, anything or any person that came from another world.
Mm-hmm.
Do rocks come from another world? Yeah. But people? What about Roswell, Pastor? What about Area 51? You think thousands of people could keep that secret? Do you really? You know, there's actually people that don't believe that man landed on the moon. Yeah. They believe it was all a farce.
Right.
I mean, golly, are you just stupid?
Yeah, they are. Can't fix that.
Yeah, or some of people still believe it. We live on a flat earth.
That one is, I'm sorry, they need to wear their sign.
Gravity alone proves that doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, really, All right, that was the fourth day, the sun and the moon and the stars. Let's look at the fifth day of creation. He's going to create the birds, the sea creatures are created. In verses 22 through 23, then God said, remember, you know what he's doing? He's just speaking. He's just speaking. He's creating with his word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God.
Before you move on from the...
Yeah.
You know, because he says, let there be lights.
Yes.
I think that's a pretty beautiful picture of God's order. Because he already created light.
Yeah.
But if you notice back in verse 2, he didn't say it was good. This is him finishing his masterpiece of light. You know, and then he says, when he's talking about the sun and the moon, about the lesser and the greater, I mean, that's also a beautiful picture of, you know, Jesus being the ultimate light, because he says not the greatest light, but the greater light comes from the sun. Because for a long time, people thought the moon was bigger than the sun, and we know now that...
Yeah, it's dwarfed.
You can actually fit 64 million moons inside the sun.
Yeah. It's amazing how, it's amazing. That sun is something else, man. But, without it, you're done.
But at the end of this, he says, and it was good.
Yeah.
So this is like him putting a, you know, like a painting. Now that painting is complete.
The final touches.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. And let birds fly from above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind. And every winged creature, every winged bird, according to its kind. You guys see a pattern here?
Yep.
Always according to its kind. And God saw that it was good.
Amen.
And God blessed them. Oh, don't miss that part. Saying, be fruitful. That's right. That's the first time. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. So evening and the morning were the fifth day.
Amen.
So on the fifth day, we see a great variety of sea creatures and we see a great variety of birds. And here's something I want you to notice, because he said, and God said, and they were created. There's no way that these were grown or were slowly evolved over millions of years. These things were full grown and ready to be fruitful and to multiply the earth. So, what came first? The chicken?
The chicken.
It's a no-brainer. It's not even a question. But it would be an evolutionist that asked you that question. Because a creationist already knows that God created the chicken first. Amen.
You know, after last week, I've kind of been pondering on that butterfly caterpillar thing. I know I said it as a joke, but the more I think about it, this is also a joke. So.
I mean, it's kind of a story in the Bible, too, isn't it? Whole Bible as a whole. We're going to be this great butterfly.
So when did they start being fruitful and when did they start multiplying?
Immediately.
Right after he said it.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Yeah.
It'll come up again.
Yeah, it's going to come up in chapter 2, because what he's going to say is, because in chapter 2 it's going to say before the plants grew and all that, he was creating man. So. And just remember, I want you to remember, this is important. When we get to chapter 2, all it is filling in some details of chapter 1, because some people have decided, well, that's a gap theory, or some people have decided, well, God screwed up and that didn't work, so he had to start over again. And I'm just telling you, that is so ridiculous. That means you have no idea of who God is. And we'll talk about all that when we get there, but that's a good point, right? So all of the diversity of the animals, they share similar structures, right? The birds, the reptiles, the mammals, they all, you know, have similar structures. So all of these, they didn't come out of some primordial soup, as the evolutionists would say. But I'll tell you, they did all come from the same designer, the same creator. And that was the creator God. I just, man, can you picture that? You know, he's already separated the land from the waters. So you got the land. Then he made the vegetation to grow on the land. Mm-hmm. And then now he speaks, and all of a sudden, listen, birds start flying in the air, all kinds of different.
Yeah.
And now there's fish everywhere in the sea, and sea creatures everywhere in the sea, all because he said,
let there.
Hope that makes sense to you, because it does to me. According to their kind, again, like animal life and all the rest, it's according to its kind. So God deliberately structured plenty of variation in one kind, but one kind will never make
another kind.
Another kind.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not like you could crossbreed a dog and a cat and get something.
Yes.
Can you,
yes.
You know...
It's
just dog. Yes, and I've talked to you about this in the beginning before we started this book, that, you know, the people who believe that you and I, there was this premortal soup and we crawled out as a tadpole, remember?
Yeah.
And then they show you in them science.
Like a little wiggle and then little arm.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, and then, you know, they show you the man as he grows up. Yeah.
My daddy.
Here's the deal. Here's how you shut that down just so fast. Never ever has one single fossil or transitory skeleton been found of anything transforming or evolving into something else.
Nothing.
None.
Nothing.
And if something is systematically accepted, odds are it's probably untrue.
Correct.
Yes.
Good point. Yes.
And why did we stop evolving?
Yes, why would we stop evolving? Yeah. That dog should still be evolving into a person. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is so stupid. That's why I told you at the beginning of this. It takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in God and be a creationist. It takes more faith to be an evolutionist, believe me. But let's be honest. The thing about an evolutionist is this. Listen to me. They do not want to give God or recognize God. So they come up with this, and because they don't want to recognize God, now they got to find a way that everything works.
Well, they want to be right. I'm right.
Yes.
How they dodge accountability.
Absolutely.
They're too lazy to be open-minded.
Yep. But just keep in mind that here's the deal. The main thing is they don't want to recognize God.
Yeah, because then they'd have to submit to
yes.
something.
Yes, because now they realize that there would be responsibility, there would be accountability, there would be all that. Amen?
Well, we've been taught that from the very first time we entered kindergarten.
Yes.
We're taught.
Isn't that ridiculous? Yes. Yeah, and you know.
That's how the theory is.
Marketing companies say get them while they're young. You don't think the system's
right.
doing that to the children?
Absolutely. Yeah, look at them. Look at your colleges right now, man.
Yeah.
Man, they are indoctrinating your kids right now. In grade school, in middle school. That's
graduation
why I tell you.
Is a combination of gradual indoctrination.
Yep. I'm just telling you, if you have kids in school and you're not involved, shame on you, man. Shame on you.
One thing I don't understand. You talked about how the axis had to be exactly 23 for this to happen, you know, for the moon to have the right thing. I mean, for survival, it has to be exactly like that. But also, the fish of the sea, the amoebas in the sea, the fish in the sea, the plants, they can't go generations without having... Animals can't go generations without having plants. Plants can't live without animals. I mean, everything...
The whole ecosystem.
Everything that's alive
yes.
is dependent on,
yes.
on each other.
Everything, absolutely.
It
yeah.
can't go.
Yeah.
It can't possibly. I mean, how do they...
But all that just came from nothing.
And over No, I mean, it couldn't have been.
No, it couldn't have been. You are correct. Anybody who can think at all.
Thing and another, if they depend on each other.
Yeah.
To survive.
Yeah, it's an ecosystem is what it's called. Yeah, everything working in conjunction with everything else.
I don't understand how they can get by with that.
Well, they don't want to recognize God. I'm just telling you, that is the main thing.
Yeah.
Because to do that would mean now you're accountable to somebody. There's responsibility. Amen?
Yep.
All right, the sixth day, what does he create? He creates man and the land animals.
Yep.
So I'm going to split that into two sections. Let's read verses 24 and 25 first. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and the beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. Why does God keep saying according to its kind? Because we're stupid.
I mean, that's
blood. There's no cross
right there.
You know, no. It's all about order. And God saw that it was good.
Amen.
So on the fifth day of creation, God made the birds and sea animals. We just looked at that. But now God turns his creative power and his creative attention towards the land animals and of various types. And there's a lot of different. I'm telling you right now that there's still some that haven't been even discovered because they're still discovering new ones. And it ain't that they're new. It's just that they're undiscovered.
New to us,
not new to creation by any means. So again, according to its kind, that's important. And the phrase again is emphasized. How many times? Just right here, like five times?
Mm-hmm.
God allows tremendous variation within a kind, but one kind will never become another kind. That's going to be important.
Yep.
It's important in our culture today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at verse 26. And I want you to notice something. In this particular description of man and God going to create man, he does not in this particular instance describe to us how he created man. He will describe that to us in the next chapter in what I call the details page.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
All right. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Woo-hoo.
Amen?
Yeah.
Does anybody notice anything in there?
Us.
Trinity.
Huh?
Us, the Trinity.
Let us make man in our image, right? The repeated word of plural words here, right? Even in our likeness. Am I right? I mean, it's consistent with the idea that there are three people, three persons in one, and we call it the Trinity. You know, and people will still come to you and tell you, the Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible.
Correct, not by name.
Yeah.
What? We don't need it. We don't need a name. If God would have said that word back then, we wouldn't even know what it meant. But we can clearly see the Trinity in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? How about when Jesus was baptized?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes.
Jesus being baptized by John. The Holy Spirit comes down.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people picture that as a dove. But the Bible is clear. It says like a dove.
Yep.
In other words, flew or floated like a dove. And then God speaks from heaven and says, this is my son. And who am I well pleased? That is the picture of the Trinity. It's kind of odd because Jesus also said in John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In John 14, verse 9, he said to Philip, he said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
So they are one, but they are three persons in one.
Mm-hmm.
So is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Is Jesus God?
Yes.
And of course, God is God. They're all God in three different persons. Amen? Now, I want you to think about this too. In the fire, when God let them out of Exodus, who was in the fire and who was in the smoke?
God.
God and Jesus.
God. specifically though mentioned is God.
Yes.
Then God, at the end of the Old Testament, played his part. And who shows up at the beginning of the New Testament?
Jesus.
Jesus shows up. Think about it. And then Jesus leaves, and he makes a promise before he leaves.
Yep, I will
be my helper.
And then who shows up after Jesus leaves?
The Holy Spirit.
They all had a part to play in God's creation. Don't you get it?
Mm-hmm.
But they are one God. Make no mistake about it. In three different persons, and they all three played their part.
Man. Well, and if you look at that, because he says, let us.
Let us.
But if you go back even further to all these other verses, it says God said. So it's as he's speaking. Who's he speaking to? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise it would be, you know, God had a thought and there was light.
I think when he says God said, Pat, he's just letting us know that he can speak things into existence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's...
I think when it says God said, we know from John 1:1, in the beginning was Word,
the Word was God.
All things were created. There wasn't nothing created that wasn't created by him for him. That Jesus is there with him. And they're in that oneness at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And God said. God just said. Oh, God, say good things about me.
Amen.
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 Because all he's got to do is say it.
Yeah.
He don't even really have to say it, does he?
He doesn't have to say it. He can just think it.
Yeah, you know? Just think it. He can just think it. All right, so an understanding of who man is begins with knowing that you and I are created in the image of God.
Amen.
In his likeness. You get that? Mm-hmm. Man. Man is different from every other order of created being. Why? Because he has a created consistency with God. Let us make the mammals and the birds and the sea creatures. And
like their kind.
None of that.
Not in our image.
That's right. And when I read that, that means to me that there is an unbridgeable gap between man, human life, and animal life.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Yep.
Though we are biologically the same in many, many areas, if you think about it, hearts, lungs, and kidneys, and all that, we are distinct.
Yes.
And we are different from all other created life on this planet. We are different in our morality.
Mm-hmm.
We are different in our intellectuality.
Yeah.
We are different in our spiritual capabilities. Mm-hmm. We are different, and we are created in the image of God.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what makes us different. So, when I think about that, this means the incarnation. Anybody know what incarnation means? Incarnation? God becoming man?
No.
That means that it was truly possible for God to become man. Because God, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, could really become a man. Even though he was deity, he could come to humanity. Because even though we're not the same, we are compatible. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
You guys following me? Because that's important.
Yeah.
We are made in his image and in his likeness.
There's a special connection.
There is, man. Make no mistake about it.
Doesn't love his creation to include the animals, but there is a distinction.
Yes.
We are in his image,
yes.
Not the likeness.
And because we're created in his image and in his likeness, don't you see how that makes human and deity not the same, don't get me wrong here, but compatible?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he did that for a reason, because he knew before he did anything that he was going to have to step into the flesh that he created.
Yep.
He knew that.
Yep.
And he did that. Man, he did that.
Mm.
Oh, you know, it also means this, that you and I, my life, your life, has so much greater value than animal life or any other kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are made in his image.
Yep.
And we are made in his likeness. And that absolutely puts a much greater value on human life. So let me just say this. To take one in the womb is to undo what God has knit together.
Yep.
And make no mistake about it, it is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Amen? I don't care what you think or what you believe, because I'm not concerned with that. I'm only concerned with what the Bible says. And the Bible says that He knits us together. He knits us together in our mother's womb. And to pull that apart, man, I almost want to use the word abomination. Because that is, it is not good, my friend. And we as Christians,
but He breathes life into each one of us. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah. So in our image, I wanted to kind of break it down, because when we read in our image, what do you guys, what comes to your mind there? Because now listen, in our image, God is one in three, right? So could our image mean that He created us in His image in the way that since He is three, we have mind, body, and soul?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That He created us in His image that way as well. Amen. But let's break those three down, because created in His image, it means humans possess, if we have the mind, body, and soul, which He created in His likeness with the God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, we possess personality, right? We possess knowledge, feelings, we have a will. We're set apart from the animal life, no doubt. It also means we possess morality. Am I right?
Yep.
We're able to make moral judgments, and listen, we have a conscience. Now, granted, a lot of them are seared.
Yes.
The Bible speaks about that.
Yes.
This is a thing people always talk about, the fact that we have a moral conscience.
Yes.
Here, and that's a difference. But I think the difference is that we can do wicked. Animals don't do wicked. We have the freedom to do wickedly. We have immorality.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
but we have that choice to make those moral judgments.
Right, we have that choice, and an animal doesn't.
Yeah, and that comes from our conscience. And the reason people can make those moral choices seemingly, you know, just out of the blue is because their conscience has been seared.
Yep.
Which the Bible does talk about, a seared conscience. Humans also have the ability or possess spirituality. Am I right?
Yep.
Man is made. What were we made for? We were made for communion with God. That's what we were made for. And it's on the spirit level that we communicate with God. Amen?
Yep.
So in our image, when it says in our image, does not mean that God has a fleshly body. That is not what it means. Because the Bible is clear in John 4, verse 24. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Yep.
So we are absolutely different from the rest of life that God created on this planet. We are of greater value, and we have definitely different characteristics. And listen, we have accountability,
mm-hmm.
and we also have a responsibility to this God that we say we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Let them have dominion. Now here's what's interesting. Before God ever created man, He decreed that man would have dominion. Because he hasn't created him yet. Am I right? But what we do know is before He even said anything, He knew man was going to have dominion mm-hmm. over the earth, right? Not only over the earth, but everything on it or everything in it. And you know, when He says that, I want you to think about that. Are you a man? As the Bible talks about here?
Yes.
Mankind? Are you part of mankind?
No.
Look, just because the Bible often uses the word man, he is.
It's creation, yes.
It is talking about creation here, all right?
It's always one in every crowd.
With that dominion, though, does come a stewardship. With that dominion does come a responsibility,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
to treat God's creation that He created for you and I mm-hmm. and gave us dominion over it. There is a certain responsibility and a stewardship, I believe, that comes with that on this earth. Amen?
Yeah. Well, Jesus even said, you know, if you are rule, how do you rule? You rule by serving.
Yeah.
So we need to serve the earth. We need to take care of it. We need to care about it. We need to care about the animals.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. We need to care about the environment and all that kind of stuff. But yes. We just don't need to be a tree-hugging fool.
Yeah. In the proper order. Yep.
I mean, why do you think we have this oil in the ground? You don't think God put it there for a reason?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why do you think we have this coal in the ground? Do you know that God put it there for a reason?
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
They want us. They want us to turn us into solar panels and windmills. I just want you to know, if that ever happens during the wintertime here in Texas, you're gonna be without power a lot.
Amen.
You can control that a lot better than you can oil burning.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And all that wind and that solar, we've already, it's been proven it doesn't work. Do you know how many solar farms are in China?
No.
You know how many wind farms are in China?
None. I saw them.
None.
But the wind thing.
None.
But they sell us the material.
Do you know where we buy them from?
Yeah.
Do you know it was all just a scam so people could get rich?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Tax
yes.
credits.
Buy these
from me.
So we are so stupid. It's time to stand up and pay attention,
money.
My friends.
It's all about money.
It's just like what's going on in the world right now, and the SAVE Act.
Yeah. Why is that even a question?
What do you mean? People don't think you should show an ID to vote in America? Are you kidding me? Well, you should absolutely show an ID to vote.
I just read this morning for a second that those that were voting on the SAVE Act had to produce an ID to vote.
Yes, they did. If you look down, if you ever look at Congress and where each congressman
yeah.
sits, right beside them, there is a voting deal with buttons on it. Yes, no, absent or present. But in order for you to activate that, you have to put your ID in it. So even for them to vote on that, they had to use their ID.
How do they press the absent button if they're not there?
Huh?
Press the
you can vote presence. You don't have to vote. You don't have to make a yes or no vote. You can just vote presence.
It'll be biometric in 4 years anyway.
Yeah,
so we're
that's
fine.
True.
Well, I mean, it's been there for what, over a year now? And
realistically, for
yes, it's been sitting on the Senate desk for a year, yeah. But I'm just saying, anybody who don't think you need to show an ID to vote in an election, it's only because you want to cheat.
Amen.
That's it. That, whatever reason is there.
Yep.
And don't forget, 20 million illegal aliens were let across our border. Does anybody know why?
To vote.
To vote.
To vote. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it.
Surveillance.
Yes. And then we can get into all that because I keep track. I am on point on all that. And I'm not listening to the noise either. There's a lot of noise around there. Around. Don't listen to the noise, people.
Yep.
Don't listen to the noise. Focus in on the signal. I was telling Heaven this morning, you know, remember the radio? You turn it and you get noise and static. But once you find the truth, it comes in clear. Listen, do not listen to the noise. There's a lot of noise. Listen to the person's mouth. Listen to what they say. And when they tell you there's something, believe them. Amen? Just believe them. Believe them. I'm talking about an individual person. You know what I'm talking about? Not what somebody said about that person.
No, but you have to be careful with that too. AI is becoming very, very, right? Like, it's just be very careful on what you're
That's
doing.
Why I'm saying you're listening to the person.
It's the face to face. Be careful.
No, not face to face. They have accounts that only they can
I'm just
speak
you,
on. You know, I don't just follow Republicans. I follow them all.
I know.
I want to know all the stupidity. And there's a lot of it. Huh? There's some people so stupid. Listen, I want you to know, too, if you don't get off your butt and vote, Texas is going to be a California. Texas is going to be a Michigan. Texas is going to be a Chicago. You better get out and vote, man. Don't think for a minute that just because this is a red state, it's a red state because people got out and voted. You got to vote. Early voting starts Tuesday.
Amen.
Get out and vote. If you need to know who to vote for, I do a comprehensive breakdown every single voting section. I know I've done all the homework already. If you want to know who the best candidate is, you know, in my opinion, but it's better than if you don't have one at all. Amen. Yeah, man, but you got to vote. Man, you got to vote. You got to vote. You got to vote. All right, let's get off of that. Because that can go a long way.
Yeah,
amen?
Over and over.
So God's creation of man and his initial commission to man, right here in verse 27 through 31. God created man in his own image. Are we going to have time for this?
No.
We're not.
5 minutes.
Five, one, two, three. I got 3 pages of notes on that. Huh? So we'll wrap it right there and pick it up right there in verse 27. And that's where he's male and female. And, you know, I got to get into all that.
Yep.
Amen. It's better to quit 5 minutes early than 15 minutes later. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good, though, as we look at this and we see how everything just, you know, but I want to, since we got 5 minutes, somebody explained this to me one time, and they said, to believe that something came from nothing or a big explosion would mean that you could go out and you could get a bunch of rocks and stuff and you could put them in a big coffee can and then you could put a piece of C4 in there and you could blow it up. And actually, you could, by blowing it up, you would actually make a Rolex watch. Think about it. That's what people are saying. The Big Bang created all this order and all this perfection and all this ecological system. Are you kidding me? You believe that? What does the second law of thermodynamics say? If something is if something blows, if there is an explosion, disorder is created, not order. So you got to be a real special kind of stupid.
But we have a lot of them.
Huh?
We have a lot of them.
To believe or be an evolutionist.
A lot of stupids.
You really do, because you have no legs to stand on. Literally. You're legless. All right? All right, I love you guys. We'll see you in the next service for Samuel. Anybody know what chapter? What chapter?
23.
23. All right, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, Father, we just thank you again for this morning, Lord. We thank you for showing us your creative power, Lord, and just reminding us of your goodness, reminding us of the sun that you pitched a tent for, Lord, reminding us for the moon, and Lord, how everything works in just such perfection, Lord. And Father, we thank you for showing us that all you had to do was speak, and you created the land animals, and you created the sea creatures, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for that. And you created them whole, Lord, so that they could be fruitful and multiply. And Lord, you said it was good. And we believe you, Lord. Just know we love you. We pray for the second service. We pray for, as they walk in that door, Lord, that they would feel your Holy Spirit and feel friendship and love, Lord, that we would be the people that we need to be. Just know we love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.